This is Red Wine by Ashley Renee, a Culture and Conversations exclusive. Let's get it.
The strength and power of love overthrow what I dream of. And if I could bottle it up, I'd drink it down to be less strong. Give me pleasure, 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 pleasure.
Red Wine by Ashley Renee, a Culture and Conversations exclusive. You can download Red Wine everywhere music is sold online. Please go and support her as she continues to introduce the world to her sound. That was Red Wine by Ashley Renee. Hey, Culture and Conversations family, this is Jameson Smallwood, your host. Thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast with your shares on social media, with your likes, with your listens. It really does help. It really brings the podcast before people and helps introduce the podcast to new members of the audience. Before we get too far into our episode, please go by iTunes or your favorite podcasting application and leave me a 5-star review, letting people know that the podcast is worth listening to. Write a comment, tell people to check it out. And that is another way that you can help support Culture and Conversations. Well, I am so hyped to present this interview because I had a chance to sit down and chat with Ashley Renee, who is introducing her new single, Red Wine, to the world. And I was the first podcast she sat down and interviewed with. And that makes me feel happy when I'm able to get people to support you guys with their stories and with their content. And at the same time, give you guys access to who they are and help them tell their story to you. So I'm not going to do too much talking on this episode. I'm just going to let the episode rock out. And we're going to talk with Ashley Renee about her new single, Red Wine, as well as about her career in music. Hey, Culture and Conversations family. You know how it is when you hear about the success of other people. You oftentimes are amazed and you're blown away by what they're able to accomplish in their different pursuits. And I have a friend whose sister has been hugely successful. She was on America's Got Talent, and she was a part of the group Act Two, and they were doing opera. And at the time, I wasn't into the opera scene as much as I am now, but knowing what I know about opera now and the vocal talent and the training that it takes to execute opera, then I'm so happy to bring this next guest to Culture and Conversations. Her name is Ashley Renee, and she's here to talk about some new music that she's releasing, as well as to talk about her career and help you guys to get to know her a little bit more. So let me welcome to the conversation, Ashley Renee. Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm great. Great. Happy to be here.
That's cool. So Ashley, let me ask you a couple questions to get my audience familiar with who you are. So take me back to the first time you started singing, all the way back. When was that, and when did you realize that singing was something that you wanted to devote your life to?
Ooh, so we're going to go back to circa 1989, maybe?
Okay.
88? I don't know. I'm like four or five at that time.
Okay.
Maybe even younger than that. Sunbeam Choir. St. Luke AME Church.
Okay.
And East Jerusalem Baptist Church. Had two churches.
Okay.
Two parents, stubborn, never consolidated churches.
Oh, no. Baptists and AMEs don't get along all the time.
Baptists and AME. Yeah. Yo, like, that was me. And I was in the Sunbeam Choir and the Children's Choir at both churches. And that was life. Singing in the choir. And that's pretty much how I got all of my singing in from, I don't know, that time to really into college. It was all about choir. Discovering my natural kind of knack for a classical sound that came when I was in a high school choir. Just really believing that I could sing. That happened around eighth grade. I'd been singing the whole time, and Mom had been putting me in talent shows and all of that stuff, but I didn't think I could sing until I was in eighth grade.
So why didn't you think? So why didn't you think you could sing until the eighth grade?
Because I got this really bomb song that my eighth grade choir teacher / eighth grade teacher, because I went to a little small Lutheran school where teachers did it all.
Okay.
She gave me this really, really pretty solo. And I remember the words were, "I may not be a shining star." Was it, "I may not be a, all that you are. I may not be a shining star. But what I am, I thank the Lord for making me his child." And I just remember there was like this part that was at the end of it that like just really went hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Lutheran school, so, you know, we weren't going that hard, but it went kind of hard. and I just really felt I had that pleasure in singing, and that feeling, I loved it. And that's when I started to enjoy singing. It didn't feel like something that I did because people told me I was good at it, so I should do it. I love doing it for me. I've been kind of fighting to feel that feeling every time I sing.
Wow, that sounds the same way that drug addicts describe getting hooked on crack. They chase that high again, right? And
you know, singing doesn't ruin your life, hopefully.
That's probably a bad analogy, so excuse me. But the part about, you know, seeking that high again, that's what made me think about that. So
yeah.
So, but for you though, you know, you talked about your confidence developing after you sang that song. You know, for how did people around you see you and your talent? Did people encourage you to sing, or did people see it as something that you're just kind of, you know, messing around with until obviously you gave it a more earnest pursuit?
I will say I didn't get my confidence then. I just enjoyed singing then. Confidence came years and years later. It's still coming, but, Then, as far as like people receiving me, my parents have always kind of pushed me, and my mom used to always tell me, "You don't know what you have, and maybe one day you'll be able to see it. Maybe you're not supposed to see it now."
Mm.
And so she was always trying to look for opportunities for me to sing and share this gift. So I really was, it was kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It was nurtured, for sure, by my parents, if no one else. And then, you know, of course, at church, it was kind of traumatic because they started making me sing at, like, funerals. and stuff like that, or asking me to sing at funerals, which I still to this day hate going to funerals because I sang at so many when I was around that age.
Sure.
But not to focus on the funeral, but the idea that people were really just kind of asking me, oh, can you come and sing? Can you come and sing at my church? Or can you come and be a guest? So I have been accustomed to doing that since I was around that age, thankfully. And it was really nurtured overall.
That's amazing. You know, when you have someone asking you to come sing repeatedly and you're still doubting that you're really gifted at what you're doing, you know, the confidence isn't there yet. You know, that's the part that's intriguing to me because there are so many people who are extremely confident to the point where their talent doesn't match their confidence. But in your case, you are reserved, or at least you were reserved. And you obviously had talent because people, I know this about church, people don't have you come to their church and sing if they don't think you can sing. And they're not going to have you invite you to their funeral and say, hey, come sing, and you can't sing, because that would just make it a more, you know, painful experience. So, you know, for you, you're developing the confidence. Is there one moment outside of eighth grade that sort of gave you even more encouragement, where you were able to look at yourself and say, okay, I am a singer and I do have this talent and I'm going to be bold in it? Is there something later on that happened in life that gave you that confirmation that, hey, this is what Ashley is supposed to be doing?
I mean, I feel like I've had sprinkles of it along the way, but I'd say probably senior year of high school. And I lacked the confidence because the thing that I was really good at the time was a type of singing that I wasn't hearing around me, which was kind of like that operatic or classical kind of sound, which kind of came naturally to me, but that's not happening. You know, I grew up in New Orleans, and there weren't any Black opera singers really like prevalent on the scene for me to see and to hear. You know, today we talk about representation, right? And so I found my confidence in a moment where my choir teacher, who I hadn't had many solos, and when I did have a solo in high school, I didn't feel like I nailed it because it was gospel and it just wasn't something comfortable for me. She gave me the solo. It was the lead to Rockin' Jerusalem.
Okay.
And it was the Negro spiritual arrangement of it. So like the concertized spiritual arrangement of it. And I had to sing in a head voice to do it. And I had heard other, you know, older kids sing it. It was like a traditional song in our repertoire for high school. And when I did it, she just said, hey, you sing this solo. And I knew the solo just from hearing other people do it, but I had never actually tried to sing it before. So when she said, do it, and I did it, and it sounded right to me, and it sounded right to her, and she was like, oh, this is great. Then I was like, oh, this is the style that I've been yearning for and didn't even know it. So that was kind of like an aha moment for one, because I actually felt like I really sounded really good at this. It wasn't something that was the norm for all of the other singers who were killer singers, but they were killer like gospel singers and R&B singers and even like jazzy, but not too many like naturally classical singers were around me at the time.
Yeah.
So it was an aha moment for all of those reasons.
Okay. Now you said you sang that song in head style. Can you help us understand for those who aren't technically versed in singing? What is head style and how would we know it when we hear it?
Well, when you think of the operatic sound, like if you ever go to any opera or any kind of classical singing kind of experience and you hear that heady or that really, I don't know, unearthly kind of sound. And people are like, how do you make that sound? Like, how do you sing like that without a microphone? That's the sound that I'm talking about. It's
sure.
Does that make sense?
That does. I had a guest on my podcast a couple of episodes ago where I spoke with her, and she is the stage director for the Atlanta Opera. And
oh, cool.
One of the things that she mentioned, her name is Brenna Corner, is that she mentioned that very thing, that the opera singing isn't amplified. So when you hear it, it is truly the artist and their voice and your ears. There's nothing in between you and them that's producing that sound. Mm-hmm. And so now I have a concept of what you're talking about, as well as my listeners who, if they don't, then go back and listen to that episode and you'll get a sense of what we're talking about. So let me transition us a little bit here too. So you go to school and you become immersed in the world of classically, you know, studying for singing and studying the craft of singing, and you're embracing this gift that you have, and you're developing that confidence and continue developing that confidence. What led you to America's Got Talent?
Oh gosh, there's so much in between that. America's Got Talent really came at a, it wasn't like a rebellious time, but it was a, it's kind of like a similar time to what's happening in life for me now, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But from then until now, I was really like sinking into opera. And I went to school for it. By the time I got to America's Got Talent, I already had, I had finished my master's degree in voice by that point.
Okay.
And I'm living in Dallas. My partner in Act Two is living in New York. And we decide that we first are going to form Act Two because we wanted to raise money to go to Europe. Because that's what you do. If you're not getting booked for young artist program, which is basically like the transition from a professional to a professional opera singer from like a graduate program.
Sure.
It's like an in-between, almost like an apprenticeship kind of thing.
Okay.
So if you're not doing that here in the States, then a lot of singers, the journey is you go to Europe and you audition in Europe. Because opera is big and popular there, and you get booked at an opera house and you do like a residency there.
Okay.
But you have to go and do like an audition tour of Europe, and that costs money. So Act Two came out of us saying, hey, we're going to raise money to go and do our own audition tours, but we're going to do like this collective effort. It just so happens that when we were starting Act Two and I was going to New York for auditions at the same time, America's Got Talent was doing an audition. And so my partner was like, hey, this is happening. What do you think about it? So we checked with our individual teams of people, our voice teachers, our families, and they all said, why not? Go for it. So we did it. And that's pretty much like we just, it's not that we stumbled into it, but we just kind of said yes when the opportunity came up.
Sure, sure. And what was that audition process like? At some point, you know, you had to go and sit in front of somebody and actually sing. So, you know, take us into that world a little bit, you know, from, hey, we're going to do this to now let's, what are the actual logistics of you doing it and auditioning and getting booked for the show?
Well, it was just like you see on television. I don't know if they do it a lot for America's Got Talent, but literally like the lines outside and people are standing outside for hours waiting to get into the building to audition. Like that's real. That really is sure. how it goes down. And then we sat for hours. The first thing that we did before we even did that is tried to figure out what we wanted to sing on the show. Because we wanted to stay authentic to being opera singers for the show, but we wanted to sing something that would be familiar. So we chose the flower duet, even if you don't know the song, you've heard the tune, you know, like 9 times out of 10 on either a commercial or I think British Airways uses the tune. So it's just a popular tune. So we chose that. And then the rest of the audition process was really crazy because we were kind of moving on levels before we ever got to the judges. I think with all of those shows, you have to get through a slew of producers before you ever see what actually is what you see on television. I don't think I'm breaching my contract. I think I'm from under it.
Well, no, we don't need anything that exclusive. So
I won't go with exclusives, but I will say it's kind of like common knowledge that, you know, like if they try to hear everyone that went through the process, then they would be there for months to years, you know, because it's like it's so many people. So you just go through a process before you get to the judges.
I got you. And that's enough. Yeah. That's enough for our listeners right there. So we we respect contracts. We do not want to be sued on the Culture and Conversations podcast.
You will not be sued on the Culture Conversations.
I'm just saying.
We've talked about this process a good bit. But
cool.
Yeah, but it's a process.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I want to, you know, if I can be so bold and just say is that, you know, I've heard, you know, you saying, I heard you on America's Got Talent. You know, I've been following you in Act Two and your career. And mm-hmm. I just want you to understand you are really talented. So, you know, sometimes I think we doubt ourselves. And I'm not saying you're doing that in your career, but you should embrace your talent because you are really talented. And
thank
I think you,
you,
you know, I think your artistry has a place in music. So, you know, as far as my endorsement as the Culture and Conversations podcast host matters, then you should really, you know, continue to, you know, just embrace that and flourish in that because, you know, I think you are talented. So really talented. So with America's Got Talent and you have that exposure, did anything happen after the show that would, you know, that you were like, wow, that was a really good thing that we did the show?
Yeah, I mean, it's been like random stuff. We got to go to Greece. We were like guests of the, what's the official? Like it was some kind of like official guest of Greece.
Oh, wow.
To come and sing at the Aegean Festival, which took place on the island of Syros.
Okay.
And, you know, like a part of it was, you know, being able to stay in Athens for a week, you know, on Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having all of these really great experiences being kind of shown around. And, yeah, like that was like a really, really cool experience. And then we got to go and sing with this really fabulous orchestra there and then also present one of our concerts that we created for the audience there. And it was really cool, like seeing our pictures all up around the island. And, that was fantastic. We've gone on tour with the American Spiritual Ensemble, which is like this really great ensemble that preserves the African American spiritual, which is like, you know, indigenous music to the United States.
Yes.
So we got to go on that tour, and that tour finished at Lincoln Center, and we got to sing at Avery Fisher Hall while it was still Avery Fisher Hall instead of it's now David Geffen Hall. But, okay. You know, no shade to David Geffen Hall. You know, I Lincoln Center is my home as well. So we got to really sing on those kind of historical stages. And then it's just been one experience after the next. We took a concert that we created on tour, and we got to go to places in America that I just never would have traveled on my own. Like, music took me to North and South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's really not somewhere that I had even thought about going. But it was really great to, like, do concerts in, you know, Nebraska and, you know, the Dakotas and Kansas and just really interact with, you know, individuals that you wouldn't otherwise get to cross paths with in Wisconsin. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, and you're taking a show that you love, that you created, and you're taking it to all of these different audiences, and it's like all of these cross-cultural experiences happening, and just really human experiences, human connections happening, and this is all because of music. This is all because we did a thing, and we were brave about it, and we took a chance, and people have liked it, and they've asked us to come, and we still get booked to do shows. We still are creating. So it's been great.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's the part that I've always enjoyed about music, is that how it connects people and touches people. And that's one of the things I enjoy about my podcast, is that mm-hmm. I have a chance to just see how people's lives are intertwined and how they're touching other people and engaging with other people through their gifts and through their talents and pursuits. So I'm glad that you've had that experience. That's awesome to hear that you've been just all over the world and all over the country because mm-hmm. of your voice and your talent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what does music mean to you when you think of music as it relates to Ashley Renee?
It's vast.
Okay.
It's limitless. It's life. It's the air I breathe at this point. So I mean, like, music is everything for me. And as Ashley Renee specifically, it's really about just getting rid of all boxes.
Mm-hmm.
All self-imposed limitations, because, you know, no one else puts limits on you. You put limits on yourself, right?
Okay.
So it's really just about being as open to whatever the moment calls for.
Wow.
That's music.
Yeah, we need to let that breathe a bit. As Sway would say on his show, we got to let that breathe a bit. That was heavy. You gave us some bars there, I think, you know, but I think that's a really beautiful way of describing it, music and just describing that genre of mm-hmm. communication, because there is a thought there, there is a heart there, there is an emotion there that comes from us, and we put it out into music, and that's how it connects with people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we transition here a little bit, you are now working on a project that I just mm-hmm. got the exclusive to, and that mm-hmm. was cool. And the project is called Red Wine. That's your new single. And mm-hmm. tell me what led you into Red Wine, and how, and what is that a metaphor for in your life?
So what got me into Red Wine is like just a representation about, it's just, man.
mm-hmm.
First of all, Red Wine is the song is open to interpretation. And the sense of red wine is open to interpretation. Like, when you think of red wine, you think of romance, you think of kickback, you think of a relaxation, a wind down, you know, you think about communion.
Mm-hmm.
You think about blood, you think about sacrifice. So it's all of those things. Like, when I say I'm getting rid of boxes, I'm even getting rid of boxes around ideas. Like,
mm-hmm.
when I was really thinking about what I wanted Red Wine to be about, I wanted it to be a song with like a vast meaning, so that whoever is listening kind of enters into it wherever they want to, wherever they feel it that day. Like, today you might be in a real, like, spiritual or universal or whatever your language is kind mm-hmm. of mood. So it might give you that sense of imagery. Or you might be, you know, feeling somebody you love or something like that. And then you get that from it. Every time I listened to it or even when I was recording it, I had different imagery running through my head.
I think red wine is you. That's what I think. Hmm. And I think it is, it's symbolic of you because first off, you have to have a certain appreciation for red wine. Red wine isn't for everybody. Wine doesn't strike everybody's palate the same way. And I think that's a metaphor for your music and your gift of singing. Also, I think that red wine describes how you've reached this point in your career. There is a pressing that has to happen to the grapes to produce red wine. And that pressing is a process that involves, you know, a struggle. And at the same time, though, the output is, it isn't the finished product, but it's the beginning of the finished product. So when I look at all of that mixed up, I see you kind of in that. And also, I think because you have to appreciate wine in order to enjoy red wine, I think there's some, just based on what you said about yourself, there's some of that, that hope that you would be appreciated in the metaphor of how we have to be connoisseurs of wine, where we have to, you know, like you said, sit with it and let it breathe a bit. And I think that all sort of is a great metaphor and descriptor for who you are and how you see yourself relative to your music and your career. You know, that's what I heard in some of the music, you know, when I was listening to it, as well as when I hear your story and then I also hear things that come to my mind about red wine. That's how I see it all playing together. So.
Well,
I every now and then, Ashley, I have to let them know on Culture and Conversations that I do this, you know what I mean? I listen. So, but, I think that's a great song title. I was really intrigued by it when I heard it, and the song title alone, you know, I just wanted to hear it. And I said, oh, I need to hear this. So, you know, and, you've given me permission to share a snippet of it with my audience. So we'll definitely play that for them, when this episode comes out. Let me ask you a little bit more about this as we want to highlight this some on the show. What is your hope for red wine? What do you hope that it does for you at this stage of your music career?
It's really a sort of introduction for me. An introduction of me, rather. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, most of my identity has been through kind of like the classical or the classic kind of genres. Like most of the styles that I do with Act Two is mostly like classical first, maybe jazz, Broadway, some maybe gospel.
Sure.
But I've never ventured into R&B or any kind of soul type things before, not publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my friends will hear me do it, or you know, the shower does, or it's more public than that. But it's never been on like this level, and I've never put something out that is my own before. And so it's almost too big to even think about at this point. Like, I've simplified it to myself to say, I just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. I want to have fun with music. I want to play with all of the sounds that my voice can make. I mean, even within the track, like in some of the backgrounds, I'm playing with my operatic sound. If you, listen to some of the background vocals. So I'm trying to like show all that is Ashley Renee. So red wine is just kind of like, I want it to just kind of introduce a new sound, a different sound than what you're used to, but it's still really authentic to me. I still keep myself, my identity is all wrapped up in there. So I'm hoping people hear it far and wide. I hope they love it. I hope they feel love. I hope it puts a little bit of love into this very complicated world that we live in.
Okay.
Love and good vibes. And that's really what I hope all of my future music that I put out does, is just love and good vibes. That's what I want to do.
No, that's exactly what that track makes me think of. You know, mm-hmm. your metaphor, Red Wine, you talked about how you grew up in the church singing, and then you described how wine has a role in the church as communion. But then at the mm-hmm. same time, you know, wine is a very social drink as well, you know, outside of the church. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also the sort of introduction, right? You're talking about how this is your introduction of who you are and your musical range to the world on a larger scale. And mm-hmm. and wine is a great introductory drink. So sometimes you sit down and that's how you get to know people, is over a glass of wine. So, you know, mm-hmm. I see all of that fitting into Red Wine, you know. So I think you've chosen a great song and a great title because it describes you. If people dig deep, I think they'll see you and your heart in it, and they'll get a mm-hmm. sense of your talent. Definitely when they listen to this, because it's a hot track. I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah. So let's see, you know, we're definitely going to share this track with the audience, but I also want to make sure that, you know, we talk about some other things that you've got going on. So, mm-hmm. you know, following the release of Red Wine, what is your schedule looking like in terms of things that you're going to be doing, and making happen to promote this song?
Right now, I'm still building all of that out. I know that I'm going to, figure out my scene in New York. I probably won't do any live recordings of it right away, just because I feel like, especially with putting out a new sound, I want to put out one sound for now, which is the track. And then, I am going to do some live work in about a month after or so. But then I really have to go back to work too, because mm-hmm. I'm making more music.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm really open to all that's happening. I love the idea of doing stuff like this podcast to just talk about it, because I love to talk. I'm gonna hustle. I'm gonna grind. I'm gonna push it. I'm gonna reach out to people. I'm gonna do all that you're supposed to do when you really want to see something take off. I'm gonna put in the work for it.
So. Definitely. I'm definitely gonna advertise this for you on my podcast platform, so you'll see it pop up all over social media. On Facebook, on Instagram, when I put the juice to it, and mm-hmm. You'll see it. I mean, it'll go across the whole country, you know, so it'll be out there. And I mean, I feel like that's one of the things I love about this podcast, is that it gives me a platform of supporting people who are striving and who are in the process of becoming. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think for you, you already are there. You just are getting people to become familiar with you so that they can appreciate, you know, who you are and what your music gift is. And I'm looking forward to seeing all that's going to come from that. So, you know, before we wrap up our conversation, Ashley, let me ask you some other questions. So, you know, mm-hmm. what does Ashley Renee do when she's not singing? What's something that's your pleasurable, you know, time that you spend when you're outside of the recording studio?
I'm actually very active in arts education.
Okay.
So I work for a couple of big organizations in New York that push into schools, and I do residencies, anywhere from 5 to 10 week residencies in schools, middle schools, high schools, sometimes colleges. That kind of marries the arts to like a subject area that the students are learning, I myself am a disruptor of all things pipeline to prison related.
Okay.
I'm very into sort of activism on the education level, and facilitating awakening in the youth that I work with. I heard someone say that we're liberators. I don't know that I'm a liberator, but I am a person that believes in awareness of the things happening around you so that you dictate them and they don't dictate to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very active, and I'm always thinking of ways to kind of marry all of my worlds together. So if I can do a concert and I can do a pre-talk with some kids before it, I'm game for that. Like, I really love to, and I write curriculum. Like, I build education programs, and I'm a thinker. I work around the country doing that work. I travel with a team of people. We go into towns. We work with local artists, teach them how to be teaching artists, which is the official title that I go by, which has a hefty task to it. It's not just teaching people how to make something. It's teaching people how to think by making something, if that makes sense.
That's true.
Yeah. So I do that kind of work. I'm almost as equally passionate about it. I am as equally passionate about it as I am about music. One doesn't really exist without the other. And that is equal to my life's work as all of the recording that I do, all of the live performances that I do, all of this daily work that I'm doing behind the scenes in classrooms, in, you know, like community settings. Is that's my impact on the world just as much. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's Ashley Renee outside of this.
Yes. I think it's always important to have a mission, and, mm-hmm. you know, the pursuits we have in our lives, they just give the mission, I think, fuel. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're talking about you and your song and your singing, you know, and what you're producing and making and creating, but there's a real platform that you're also developing in terms of your social activism that all mm-hmm. that, as you say, they play together. They don't exist without each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think from the African American experience and tradition, singing has always been instrumental in our struggle. And, you know, slaves, they sang songs, those spirituals that you talked about earlier, those spirituals, mm-hmm. they didn't derive from, you know, gospel influences, but they influenced the gospel. So they were kind of precursors to the gospels, you know.
And those things were it's like, we've been brilliant. Like, yeah. That was coded language.
Yeah, exactly. And it spoke to the human experience, right, of being a slave, mm-hmm. and aspiring to freedom. So the songs mm-hmm. helped in the liberation. So for you to be using your gift for singing and your music to be a part of the modern day liberation of, you know, kids from the prison, from the prison pipeline system, then I think mm-hmm. that's an homage almost back to, you know, the cotton fields that slaves were working in when they were singing for their freedom. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of dopeness there and depth there, you know, as you connect those two parts of your world and who you are as a person and as an artist. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So I think it's all good. It's all a good mix in that red wine. So, yeah.
Great.
So Ashley, how can people get in touch with you and on social media and to learn more about your projects and also to stay up to date with what you've got going on?
So I am primarily on Facebook and Instagram. Those are my two favorite platforms.
Okay.
And you can find me on Facebook as Ashley Renee. And you can find me on Instagram as Ashley Renee Vocals.
Okay.
I tried to get both of them the same, but it couldn't happen. And I wasn't giving up Ashley Renee for
Facebook.
Nice. Yeah, those are my two primary ways to get in touch with me. You can slide in my DM with legit stuff.
Okay.
If you want to legit questions about music.
Yes, yes. I know your brother, and your brother's a very large human being. And yeah. I have a feeling he would not appreciate any inappropriate DMs going into your inbox. So.
Right. So you can inbox me on Facebook, Ashley Renee, Instagram, Ashley Renee Vocals, on the other platforms, but not as much.
Sure.
And as far as, did you ask how people can hear Red Wine?
Yeah. How can people hear
did
Red
you ask
Wine?
That question?
Yes.
You can hear Red Wine wherever you want to hear it. It's going out everywhere. Okay. It'll be on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Tidal. It's on everything. So you can look it up. It's on SoundCloud. If you don't want to pay the 99 cents.
Whoa. No. We're gonna challenge the listeners of the Culture and Conversations podcast to pay 99 cents for your song.
But like, I'm about equal access. So you know, but some people 99 cents is a struggle. And I want you to feel love and good vibes. So I'm generous.
I'm gonna buy it and I'm definitely gonna, make sure that I encourage my listeners to buy it. Because everything that people are doing, it costs. And, the podcast costs, your song, recording time, studio time, and your time. It's all into that. So, it's not like you're asking for $99. You're asking for 99 cents. So I think it's definitely worth that and much more so.
I'm going to buy it. I buy it.
If I'm telling you, if I'm just letting you know, if there was an EP out there, the Red Wine EP, I would have been all over that. So I'm going to definitely cop the single for 99 cents. So.
All right.
Cool. Ashley, is there anything else you want to share with my audience before we end this conversation?
I just think this is a dope podcast,
Hey, whoa. Say that again. I don't think they heard you. I don't think they heard you say that again about this being
This is a dope podcast. Culture conversation is two of the most important things. For one thing, nobody ever really talks about culture for the sake of culture. And what is culture?
Exactly.
Like, we don't even talk about that. And then conversations. Man, if we actually had conversations, where would we be?
You're giving them too much, Ashley. You're giving them too much.
I mean, two very important things to our humanity. So dope podcast. And thank you for having me on it.
You are too kind. You're too kind. I live for those moments. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. You can't see my face right now, but if you could, you'd be amazed at just how I'm beaming right now. So yeah. But no, that is the spirit of what we're trying to do, is culture and conversations. Like, I talk with people and bring them on. And what you realize is that when you have the conversation, that's where you see the culture and you see all these different things playing together. I give an opinion, about different things that catch my interest. And mm-hmm. I do that because people want to know what I think. Some people do, some people don't, but that's cool too, right? And
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what I realize is that we're not talking to each other anymore. And,
right.
Even if you go on a platform, a much larger platform than mine for right now, you go and talk to these people, they have agendas, they have their own, particular metrics they're looking for. They're looking for what they're after. And me, I want to just talk to people. I feel like we're in a time and age where we hide behind cell phone screens and we do Snapchat and Facebook, and Instagram and Twitter. But when's the last time you heard two people just sit down and talk and really hear their hearts and their mind and their journey, especially people who are in the process of becoming, right? Like, when's the last time you got a chance to talk to a caterpillar inside of the cocoon? And I like that part of what I do on Culture and Conversation. So, you know. But for me, in your case, I think you're a butterfly. We just got to get people to see your wings. So that's what we're working on. So
that's dope. I like that.
So cool, cool, cool. Well, if there's nothing else you got to share with us, Ashley, let me let you go. And thank you for being a part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Hey, Culture and Conversations family. Let's thank once again Ashley Renee for stopping by and being part of the conversation. Well, that brings us to the end of Culture and Conversations for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I hope you guys continue to listen, continue to share, and continue to download and support the show. If you want to reach out to Culture and Conversations, you can do so on Facebook. Culture and Conversations is the Facebook page. Also, Culture and Conversations is the Instagram page. And you can do so also via email, cultureandconversations@gmail.com. And as always, as my goddaughter would say,
my goddaddy made this.
Yeah, that's right. You guys be good. And please be sure to check out Red Wine by Ashley Renee. Peace.